Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Adam Hogg says...
Adam Hogue, Bears Insider.
What's up, everyone? My name's Adam Hogue. This is the CHGO Bears Podcast.
Host of the Hogue and Johns Podcast.
I've said this a few times. Ben Johnson does not seem like a first-time head coach. It's just like that's not the vibes that we've had with this coaching staff coming in.
Adam Hogue.
Adam Hoagie or Hogg, excuse me. I don't know how to pronounce the last name.
On 670 The Score.
We love talking to Adam Hogue. We do it every day on a Friday at this time. And he is of the CHGO Bears coverage, the Hogue and Johns podcast. And he joins us via the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today on this Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning and Plumbing and Electric Football Friday. Get them by your local Ford dealers and Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Adam, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, hey guys, good to be back on with you. Pretty big week, big game on Sunday.
I think it's a big week specifically for Ben Johnson, because if you can go to Green Bay and win your first trip to Green Bay, that's a big deal. It's funny, we were listening to your open, and he doesn't seem like a first-year head coach, and that resonates with me because of all the bad coaching I've seen from not first-year head coaches in, on the sidelines for the Bears. And when I was like, what is a first-year head? And I was like, oh, yeah, Nathaniel Hackett, Denver. That's what a first-year head coach looks like. I got you.
Oh, yeah. Well, and maybe some that we've had here, too. But even Mark Trestman beat the Packers his first season, guys. I'm going to give a shout-out to my guy, Pat Norton, at CHGO, who does a great job with his newsletter every morning. He had this nugget that Matt Eberflus was the only Bears head coach to never beat the Packers.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, but even Thomas Brown got it done once he took over.
It's a vulture win, man. So like just vultures right? Gets a win.
Vulture win. Yeah, I like that. So we'll see if Ben Johnson can do it. Guys, this is a huge game, honestly, for both teams. I feel like, you know, the Packers – They've had like these Super Bowl aspirations since they made the trade for Micah Parsons, and yet for most of the season they've been a very inconsistent team. Really never looked like a Super Bowl caliber team. Both of these teams though played their best game in the season last week, so they're both coming off their best, most complete performance for 60 minutes, which the Bears were finally able to do. So to me, it's like, all right, well, which one of these teams can back it up and do it again, right? Because I think if the Packers were able to do it this week, you could make a pretty strong argument that they're finally rounding into form and being that, you know, becoming that team they were supposed to be this season. Whereas for the Bears, it's just like another validation win. Like, okay, I mean, they went into Philly, they made that, they took care of that prove it game, and now you're backing it up with this one and really taking control of the North. And making maybe a more realistic play at the one seed, which they currently hold on to. So Really, just a massive game for both teams.
I love that. I love the concept that you're talking about. And if I'm reading between the lines, with both of these teams probably looking at each other in this specific game to join the group of real contenders. And I do love how, Hogue, I don't know if you put this all together, the power rankings for you guys for the All City Network and for CHGO, but I do like
yeah,
the
that's
way.
Me.
Okay, so this is all you. I like the way you segmented it because you have for your, you know, you did the whole power rankings 1 through 32, but you have Super Bowl contenders as the Rams and the Buffalo Bills, the Seattle Seahawks, and the New England Patriots. And then in the more to prove category, you have obviously Denver at 5, and then the Bears 6, the Green Bay Packers 7. So they're still in the more to prove category. So my question to you is, whomever wins this game, especially if the Bears win this game to go to 10-3, do you think they will have a chance to make it to your Super Bowl contenders list, those top four, as you put it, Adam?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. Look, everybody does power rankings, so I try to do a little bit of a different spin.
Yeah.
And like kind of halfway through the season, I'm like, let's do these tiers and try to split these teams up a little bit. And it's been fun. So, yeah, I think, and I'm sure that'll be the top of mind for Ben Johnson and Matt LaFleur, knowing that if they win this game, they move to Adam Hogue's Super Bowl contenders tier. I mean, that really should be.
They've been talking about it, man. They've been talking about it. Yeah.
You know, that's really what's really at stake this weekend. But no, I mean, to that point, that's kind of what I'm getting at. You know, up until the Packers beat the Lions last week, guys, I have a lot of family in Wisconsin. I think you know that. I was actually driving up to Madison for Thanksgiving that morning, ugh, listening to Packer pregame.
Ugh.
You would have thought the sky was falling. I mean, like, there was not a whole lot of confidence in that Green Bay team, and yet they go out and they have that great game against the Lions, and Jordan Love looked great. So that's where I'm getting at, where I think whoever wins this game, you really do need to start taking seriously as a true Super Bowl contender, which is crazy to think about for the Bears. I mean, even crazier than the Packers. But I mean, I just, at some point, these teams kind of prove to you who they are. And that's why I have the Patriots in that group right now, because yeah, they're surprising everyone, but they have a great coaching and they have the favorite to be MVP right now with Drake May. And that's what you need in this league. You need coaching and the quarterback. And so at this point, you got to take that with the Patriots. And I think, you know, for the winner of this Bears-Packers game, especially if it's the Packers, if we're being honest with you, with Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur, then you're going, all right, they're a true Super Bowl contender.
We're talking to Adam Hogue of CHGO here on Raheemy Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. The segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. And yeah, that was kind of where I stood with it, Adam. When we looked over your power rankings, it became a question of, well, how much do you think that the Patriots are really a Super Bowl contender with Vrabel in his first year and Drake May? And I don't want to take too much time away from Bears and Packers here, but it's a fair question when you see how you put it together.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, and I think the way I put it in there was, if you have 11 wins in early December and you have arguably the best quarterback in the league, like right now, I think Drake May and Matthew Stafford have been those two guys this season. I mean, and you have good coaching. Sometimes we can look at this pretty simply. And obviously, once you get into the tournament and you really look at the matchups, there's a lot more that goes into it. But yeah, you check those boxes, you're winning games, you have good coaching, you have a good quarterback. You know, I think you got to give the Patriots their due right now. So to bring that back to the Bears, you know, that's kind of where going back to how big of a week this is for the Bears and Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson. You know, I really like how Ben has challenged this passing game this week. And I think he's been completely fair about it we can all agree Caleb can be better in certain areas. But when I'm watching that Eagles tape and I'm looking at the decision-making, guys, I had him down for one questionable decision that entire game. And even that was kind of a debate. Because he kind of turned down Colson, or he forced it to Colson Loveland when I thought he could have gone on to his next progression and hit him. Maybe it was DJ Moore coming in on the end. Other than that, I thought Caleb Williams' decision-making was pretty much flawless. That's a really good thing. But then you look at the accuracy, you look at the numbers, you look at how receivers are falling down or not running the best routes. there's a lot that goes into this. Sometimes the pass protection broke down on a couple different rushes. So, but Ben Johnson, he challenged the run game earlier in the year and said, we're going to focus on this. We're going to get this fixed. And he kept telling everybody they're close. And I feel like they're at that point with the passing game right now. And if they do to the passing game what they successfully did with the running game earlier this season, watch out, right? Like, at some point, we got to give the Bears credit. Because if they make that turn in the passing game and Caleb Williams makes that turn, I don't know that he's going to get to the level that Drake May's been playing this season, but I still think it's on the table. This guy's been telling you up front all season from the time they got to OTAs how this was going to play out, what's going to happen. I'm talking about Ben Johnson now, and he's delivered on everything. And the one consistent message has been, we're going to be playing our best football in December and January. Well, we're in December. You're going to Lambeau. Prove it. And he's backed it up to this point. So if they do that, then I think the Bears at some point got to be considered a real Super Bowl contender.
I mean, just hearing you say it and explain it in that manner is so interesting. This segment with Adam Hogue brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. Okay, take me in this game and the way you see it, Adam. What do you think will be the defining thing that separates the winner from the loser when you're talking about the Bears and the Packers at Lambeau?
Yeah, I think there's two things I'm looking at specifically. Probably the more obvious one that's not groundbreaking is takeaways, right? But specifically, can the Bears turn over Jordan Love? Because Jordan Love's been doing a great job taking care of the football this season. The Bears have been doing a great job taking the ball away. Something you would think has to give here one way or the other. I thought Jordan Love threw maybe 3 to 4 passes against the Lions last week that I'm trying to like picture the Bears defense and Kevin Byard coming over the top with his range or Nashawn Wright's length. And some of the catches he's made, I thought they were passes that the Bears would have had a really good chance of picking off that the Lions were not able to. And he still got a tendency, Jordan Love, to sort of throw these prayer balls like the Packers always seemingly have done for the last 25 years, where he kind of tilts his back shoulder. He's sort of going backwards and he just launches the ball up in the air. And more times than not, somehow the Packers come down with it. Can the Bears come down with it this time? Or do they get called for defensive pass interference, which sometimes on those underthrown passes that happens? That, I feel like, the difference, the margin on some of those great plays Jordan Love had last week against the Lions was so thin that what the Bears defense has done this season in some of those similar situations in turning those into interceptions, that is going to – there's probably going to be 2 to 3 plays on Sunday. I mean, write it down where which way that ball goes might determine, will probably determine the outcome of the game. And then the other thing is, can the Bears keep this running game going? It's going to be really hard to duplicate what they did in Philadelphia. But with the weather being cold, at this point, the Bears are what they are as a rushing attack. It's very, very impressive. And the Packers losing Devontae Wyatt, their best defensive lineman outside of Micah Parsons, who's been so good in the middle, I think that's a massive storyline in this game. And I would expect the Bears to still be able to run the football. I'm not saying at will, but, you know, pretty successfully. And if they could do that, they're going to have a great chance to win.
I agree. I mean, and that is a very good Packers defense. But if we're going to all sit here and say that the Bears have the best offensive line all of a sudden, then of course they should be able to. I don't think we're going to see 2 100-yard rushers necessarily, but you should think the Bears should be able to run the ball. Hoke, you and I were part of a group of people that got to talk to DJ Moore yesterday.
They're my feet.
We had a blast talking to him. Hogan and I had a nice little giggle sitting next to each other out there at Hallis Hall yesterday. But it's so good. I'm so happy for DJ Moore and any of the guys. And there's DJ Moore ain't the only one that have endured, you know, Cole Kmet, Jaquan Brisker, Kyler Gordon, all these guys have endured just massive losing since they've been with the Bears. It's so nice for some of these guys like DJ Moore to be actually winning, which I think you and I know from being in that locker room all the time, he does value that as much as we want to project that he's not happy that he's not getting the ball.
Right. I mean, look, you could hear it in his voice yesterday and see it in his face if you were standing there with them like we were. He's a very happy man right now to be on a good football team, finally. He hasn't had this in his career.
Right.
He was on bad Panthers teams, then he was on bad Bears teams, and he's on a team here in December that's relevant. And, you know, and he's getting probably, you could say, the best quarterback play that – actually, probably not probably. I mean, yeah, this is still the best quarterback play he's probably ever had.
He'd probably tell you Justin Fields, though, just because of the numbers that he put up with Fields.
I get it. Yeah, like I think that's why I hesitated and said probably.
Yeah.
But I think if we're actually looking at how Caleb's playing quarterback compared to Justin, I get the numbers.
Yeah.
In this offense with Ben Johnson, this is the best situation DJ Moore's ever been in, even if the production isn't necessarily following. So, but yeah, I thought it was a fair question from Dan Weider, you know, where my feet was in context to, the DJ falling down on a couple routes this season, including one in Philly that almost turned into an interception. And Dan, you know, I think sometimes we pass it off as like receivers fall down or whoever's falling down. We're like, oh, you know, there's the turf monster, whether it's in Philly or it's Soldier Field. But I like this is actually a small but big example of the accountability that is in that building.
Yeah,
I'm not blaming it on the turf. No, they're my feet, and I got to stay on my feet. And because if I fall down, and he's right. I mean, it has to do with your route running, keeping your center gravity under you. And yes, as Ben Johnson mentioned earlier in the week, the cleats that you wear sometimes. Now, he didn't even want to blame the shoes. Mm-hmm. He wanted to blame his own feet, which, again, is cool. They're his feet.
They're my feet.
I love that from DJ Moore. We'll see you. He needs to have a big game this week, by the way, because I don't – even if Rome plays, I don't know that Rome's going to be 100%. So the other receivers need to step up.
I agree with that. This segment with Adam Hogue is being brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Public and Electric for all the right reasons. Plumbing and Electric for all the right reasons. Call 866-4-SEASONS.
Also, Adam, Grody brought up a good point. We should probably ask our guests for their predictions for this game, especially this week. We missed the opportunity with Mason Crosby.
We'll get his.
Yeah, Grody's chase. Grody has Ray chasing down Mason Crosby before his show to do so. So what is your thought on this game?
All right, so I'm scooping my own show here right now.
Oh.
So don't tell anybody. Because I don't think Hogan John has come out yet. I think it's going to drop around noon. So, but I did pick the Bears, guys. 27-23.
Mm-hmm. You and I are close. You and I are very
the
close.
The reason being those two the two things that, you know, Marshall, when you asked me earlier what I thought would be the keys here, they can run the ball, so they should still be able to run the ball, and they've been proving over and over again they're going to take the ball away, so why wouldn't they? Like, of course there's a scenario where they don't, but the Bears have earned the benefit of the doubt at this point to me that those things are going to happen. If we think it's going to be a tight game, well, the Bears have proven that they win these one-score games this season. And Caleb steps up in the fourth quarter in those big moments and puts them in position, and Cairo Santos, or earlier in the season it was Jake Moody, like the kicker makes the kick. So I think the Bears have actually been the more consistent team this year than the Packers, and I think they're going to come out hungry and keep this thing going on Sunday. I really do. So 27-23, Bears win.
27-23 Bears from Adam Hogue. Adam, thanks as always for joining us today.
All right, guys. A lot of good football all weekend long. Bears, Packers, everybody enjoy the weekend. It's going to be awesome.
All right, ward off all those Wisconsin people you got to deal with, man. You know, you got to stay focused, buddy.
He did go to Wisconsin. Yeah,
I know, Adam, but you got to stay focused. I know it's hard, Adam, but you need to stay focused, young man.
I appreciate you, Adam. You root for whoever you want to root for.
We're right now. We're just scheming to keep the kids away from the in-laws this weekend because they're Packer fans.
I don't have control
over that because I'm not around on Sunday. So I'm like, you know, my wife is actually the one doing the scheming, and you know, they're her parents. So it's complicated. We got a complicated situation.
I understand, man.
You're fighting a good fight.
Be strong, buddy. Be strong.
Tell your kids to hang out with us.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Maybe not.
Bears.
Adam Hogue from CHGO. He's right about there being a lot of good football this weekend. Also, tomorrow, yes, Friday, Yes, today.
Starts tonight.
North Texas and Tulane.
It's on.
For the mean championship green. For America.
We love the green around here. Excuse me, the mean green. We love the mean
yeah,
green.
What are you specific doing? With green. Like, be this very is, specific. This is North Texas. I own no Packers gear, nor do I want to.
It's a bad day to wear green, though. I got to admit, I came in strong with my Shamrock Shuffle hat on. It's green. I had to take it off. I'm sorry.
You're a Packers fan.
I draw the line at the yellow. People are like, why are you wearing yellow 3 weeks before the game? Sir, I'm going to wear yellow because I like the color. It has nothing to do with Green Bay. Nothing in my life has anything to do with Green Bay, just for the record.
When I was doing, really quick, when I was doing sidelines for the Bears, which I did for many years, I came on Packers Day, I did come in wearing this particular green hat.
No.
Joniak looks, Joniak's the most focused guy on game day. You don't want to really be around Jeff on game day, to be honest with you. But he looked at me and he just goes, "You got to be kidding me." And that was the last words that he said to me that
day. Well, that
he was right.
You remember the sideline?
He was right.
You're the broadcast team and you're in green?
He was Bears sideline in green on a day where they're playing the Packers, Brody?
It was up in the press box, for the record. Oh, I was okay. up there at the time participating in the pregame show. So for the record, that's where it was said. He was right, and I eliminated the green. He was right. Jeff was right.
So your head was cold.
He was right.
It was 100% right. Yes.
Well, that I...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good.
I remember we played the 49ers in 2023, and I was inactive, or I was on IR, and Al said, he literally came up to me and was just like, when you get your opportunity, like, just take advantage of it. And the other day we kind of talked about it, and it's just crazy to think about that we had that talk, what, 2-3 years ago, and now it's kind of happening. I got my opportunity, and I'm playing well.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster. Or in this case, at least the NFC Defensive Player of the Month. Nicely done, Ray Diaz, Grant Leader. This is Raheemi Harrison-Grody on 670 The Score. That is Nashawn Wright. I think he earns that status. He just wanted to make the team.
You know the best part about Nashawn Wright being the Defensive Player of the Month, having this breakout season on a team where he coming out of training camp, you're like, who's this guy? Mm-hmm. Is that people now know how to pronounce the name Nashawn Wright, which I thought was simple because there's an H before the S, but not everybody was on board with that.
Because the Cowboys called him Nashawn. So I double-checked. It is Nashawn Wright.
You know what's funny about that? Like, him modestly and with humility saying that he was, hey, man, I was just trying to make the roster. The Bears were giving him, like, it didn't come completely out of nowhere. If you guys remember back in camp when Terrell Smith got injured, it was immediately.
Yeah.
It's Nashawn is stepping up, and we're seeing, like, the Bears, and it might have been the Bears, Al Harris, who championed him, probably.
He said that, yeah. Like, yeah. Al, the relationship with Al is what got him here. You're right.
You got him here, but obviously you got to prove yourself. They can get you in the door, but now you got to deal with Dennis Allen and the rest of the defensive staff. And they did champion him from the beginning. They saw something in him right away. So I don't know if it was as much of a grind for him to actually make the 53-man roster as he says. But of course, it is a great story.
It is a great story, and it's proving itself on the field. NFC Defensive Player of the Month awards don't just fall out of the sky. The Bears, in fact, hadn't had one since Robert Quinn in 2021. And Nashawn Wright, who had talked to us earlier in the week, talked to me at Football After Dark. If you were in the crowd, you got to see a great conversation. Got more flowers appropriately this week after that was said, you know, after he got that award. So he talked about just his time with Al Harris now on not one but two different teams.
Crazy. Just because of the fact that he's always believed in me. And that goes a long way. I texted him yesterday, and I just told him, like, I appreciate him more than he knows. Just because teams gave up on me in a sense, and it was cool. It's cool to have someone like that who believes in you. I've been on. This is now my third team, and he's still been there every step of the way, checking on me. So it's definitely been a crazy journey that we've been on, and I hope to continue to be with him and finish out my career with him, maybe, or however it may shake out. But yeah, it's definitely been crazy.
Sure sounds like what he said to us about wanting to be here if he can. He's a free agent. This is a one-year deal.
It's a great story, too, Layla, in terms of that part of it. Like, who are the – I mean, they're not going to pay everybody. Like, Tyreek Stevenson is coming up out of contract, obviously, and he's had another up-and-down season. He's been injured, so he hasn't had an opportunity. But it's going to be interesting at the end of the year. I guess it really depends on what Nashawn Wright wants. Does he feel like he should get, like, a long-term deal, or would he be willing to settle – when I say long-term, I mean 3 to 5 years. Would he be willing to settle for a 2-year deal to stay with the Bears? I don't know, man. That's because they're not going to pay both those guys. They're not going to pay Nashawn and Tyreek. That's
so,
for sure.
So there's life-changing money at stake here when you're Nashawn Wright trying to, you know, the NFL still stands for not for long. You get your first bite at the apple. You take that bite. You make it as big as you can make it. And I think what's interesting here is the way that he talks about Al Harris and that relationship specifically speaks a lot to what Al Harris has provided. We heard Kevin Byard the other day talk about, right? Like, I'm starving over here. I need some more takeaways, and having a quota of getting 4 takeaways per practice, and him having a very specific relationship with a guy who was drafted where he was and wasn't really getting the opportunities. It probably reminds Al Harris a little bit of his situation, in which he's a 6th-round draft pick and he's with the Bucks. They have too many people at the position. He gets cut. The Eagles pick him up, and he finds a way to kind of keep his career going until he becomes the blossom. Unfortunately, it is Packers,
yeah,
but that's where he
blossomed. Trust me, he was annoying. He felt like a core guy with the Packers, so that's a great comp, right? They're copying him to himself, because it took a while for Al to get going, and then he got going, man. He did.
And so to that specific, what do you do now? Understand this. There's no guarantee that Al Harris, the linchpin in this whole situation, will even be on the Bears staff if the Bears continue to have the amount of success that they're having this year. He could be somewhere else in an elevated role, and that might change what happens with specifically with Nashawn Wright.
I think that Nashawn has done enough on his own now for to not have to be attached to Al Harris. Like, his life with the Bears does not depend on Al Harris being with the Bears. But I do think it's a pretty tough call. Like you look at this and you say, what is he, 6 interceptions so far this year?
Five.
Are we really projecting that Nashawn Wright is going to continue? I mean, this is what the Bears have to think about. Is he really going to continue on this trajectory? And if we're, like, being real about it, it's not like Nashawn has been perfect in coverage throughout this year. He's kind of a boomer bust guy.
So that's,
I think, Haw might have the great analogy. I think it was David Haw.
Yeah.
So he's like a home run hitter. Like, he'll go through spurts where he's hitting a lot, but he'll also strike out a lot.
Well, according to I think I want to say it was Next Gen Stats. Don't hold me to that. It's either Next Gen Stats or PFF. He's given up the most touchdowns this season while having the most takeaways this season as a defensive back.
It's very complicated. It really is.
But the boom is worth it.
Jamison Tyone with the home runs and then not giving them up. But the difference is they're all at the same time.
Remember how great Tyone was at the end of the season? Remember when Jamison Tyone became their ace?
He was the only guy we could count on.
My God.
And then they gave Shohei Imanaga a raise.
To Shota Imanaga. He's like, you give up the home runs now. That's literally what happened at the All-Star break.
And then he got a raise.
He did get a raise.
Yeah, Shota got a raise after failing in the postseason.
Not that I'm still thinking about all of it. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, just talking about Nashawn Wright and his success, and for the Bears to have an NFC Defensive Player of the Month. I don't know how many times I have to point out the contrast and the difference from the previous head coaching staff to this one. But I do think it's also somewhat funny that the defense is shining so much with an offensive head coach. Like, I don't know how many different ways you need to understand that the truths that you may have learned about the Bears and how they hire coaching staffs are different. But perhaps the best example is we're still talking about the running game and the defense having to be the thing that gets them through this Packers game, for example, and has been the reason the Bears have been so good of late. Even though Ben Johnson has the reputation for being such an offensive architect, I think that that stands to be discussed.
Well, they really are still just so dependent upon those turnovers, and they've done it now through 12 games. So at some point in time, you got to accept that the Bears are good at forcing turnovers. Their defense is good at takeaways, but you still look at the numbers, and it ain't there. And that points allowed, the Bears are 25th. Total yards, Bears 27th. Passing yards allowed, 22nd. Against the rush, the Bears are now 28th. Still 133. So that is worrisome to me. That is fragile stuff right there. And they've made the spectacular plays, but can this continue to feed the Bears defense? I think it can because it's 12 games, but it's worth looking at those
numbers. Two questions,
yes,
though.
Yes.
How much does the injury factor play into that?
I think
because
it does.
They're getting, and then the other question is, are the health in the secondary, even though the linebacker health is not good, does the health in the secondary help change that a bit, you think? It's not going to be for the run defense, that's for sure.
It does, but a lot of the players that we're talking about and praising right now have been playing. Kevin Byard has been playing. Nashawn Wright has been playing. Tyreek Stevenson, before he got hurt, was very good at times this year. So in other words, I have to say, and T.J. Edwards has never really been healthy this year. The Bears were struggling in all those aspects, even when they were healthy, if you consider not having Jalen Johnson being healthy. So it's not like even when they were fully healthy, they were putting up dominant defensive numbers. They just weren't.
I think the biggest number outside of the takeaways that you can look at as to maybe why they've been so successful on defense and kind of gotten away with giving up all the yardage you're talking about.
Yeah.
They're seventh in the league in third down defense.
Yeah.
So when you can get off the field,
that's a big one,
at a 36% rate on third down, that has a lot to do with why, even though the numbers, the raw numbers do not look good,
they're a clutch defense.
They've been kind of clutch.
Isn't that the right word? Like third,
it's bend don't break.
Like bend don't break.
You can allow yards, but as long as your scoring defense is better. You know, you can allow yards, but as long as your third down defense is good, that's kind of the idea.
It is, and that's so many defenses in the NFL. It's not like other defenses around the league, not like probably half of them have probably referenced their defense as bend don't break.
It's crazy because even the red zone defense is 26th in the league.
Right, but the scoring defense itself is enough. And here's the other thing. You know who's not bend don't break? The Packers defense. You know who's not been don't break?
They break.
The Broncos defense.
They're about to break.
When you look at the upper echelon.
Also the Browns.
I mean, when you look at the upper echelon when it comes to just team defense, you know, it is number one, the Texans, yards allowed, then it's the Browns, Chargers, mysteriously, Packers, and then the Broncos. I can't make sense of the Chargers ever. But that's another story for another day. Here on Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, we have an unsolved mystery that might have been solved.
What?
Do you think it actually was solved?
I have questions, but
I don't know, because nobody has said it, and snitches get stitches, and somebody would get fined if they really found out who it was. So yeah, we'll analyze all of it. Did you guys figure it out yesterday? Who did you guys blame yesterday? I saw something in the...
DJ Moore was getting some blame.
What?
But I think he was standing off to another side. So ceiling gate continues next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I still think he meant something valid, Michael Jordan. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And the question that has been plaguing our time, by our time I mean this week, has been, who punched the ceiling in Philly? When you look at the picture of Ben Johnson taking his shirt off and all of the amazing expressions the Bears have and how it looks like art and everybody cheering, somebody in the very, very back punched the ceiling. And we've all done our best to ask around. I asked Nishan Wright. I know Nicholas Moriano has been on the case quite a bit. And Grody, you've been on the case.
I've been on the case. I was in the locker room yesterday, and as we were preparing to recorders on, cameras on, and getting ready to have a serious conversation with DJ Moore. I'm just laying little breadcrumbs here. You got to listen. These are very short cuts, but just listen to, first of all, this is the beginning. Right before we started talking to DJ Moore, here was DJ Moore on if it was Roma Dunze who punched the hole through the roof.
I think y'all could find out who in the locker room if y'all really just look. I mean, really? At the picture.
At the picture? Oh, really? Okay.
I'm not going to tell you.
All right, so that's at the very beginning. And then after we had our serious talk with DJ Moore, which you will hear some of a little bit later when I take you back into the locker room at 1 o'clock, I will take you back into the locker room for even more substance. But then this was the very end. After we're starting to turn the mics off, I had one last little jostle with DJ Moore over it.
Thanks, DJ. Not Rome, huh?
But if you can get
DJ!
His answer is ah.
Thanks, DJ. Not Rome, huh?
Then I had a little walk and talk with him. You know, the old reporter walk and talk. I go, so was it Rome? And he goes, nope. So he was very confidently telling me it was not Roma Dunze.
Because DJ Moore is not going to snitch.
Of course he's not. And like, I don't know if it was Roma. I have no idea.
On team not going to snitch, DJ Moore I would draft in my top
100%. He was completely loyal. He was not going to tell me nor any other reporters off to the side. It wasn't going to happen. Good for you, DJ.
This feels anticlimactic because I've reviewed the picture. I've reviewed the new video. I've reviewed it all.
I love when you review.
It was Roma Dunze, but unlike what the picture shows, there was no ceiling fallout or anything. There wasn't an actual tile that was damaged. He just punched the ceiling, landed, and scurried about his business.
Oh, you don't think they would send a fine to the Bears?
But no, I'm saying the video. Did you what the video that we were sent?
We've gotten a new video, okay, so different angle. Okay, so it came out yesterday.
So they did not do damage? Is that
right.
what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
It would appear, but here's the thing.
Okay.
How well-timed was that picture to catch that at that exact moment where it also does look like he at least like depressed the ceiling, but everybody knows
and then runs away.
Well, and everybody knows if you've run into a ceiling with ceiling tiles like that, they will flake and kind of snow down on you. Yes, Ray.
When you look at that original picture that went viral, it's very much zoomed in, but the thing about it is it's a little blurry back there. So I think we were just a little, I think there's a little bit of like we got by the blurriness. Because it does look like the arm is going through the ceiling. But when you watch that new video that surfaced yesterday with the different angle.
It's AI.
AI might be out here, Grody, getting us all again.
You did think that Ben taking his shirt off was AI for a moment.
I think I was right to be a little bit careful. Was I not? In this world of AI where we all get burned, where we've all been on Instagram. And half of what's on Instagram now feels like it's AI BS.
Here's the thing. Consider the source. Like, so when you're watching it and it's on this still the game broadcast and you can kind of rule it out that way, but I don't discredit your apprehension.
Yeah. I got to have a little, when I'm in the middle, I'm doing a show. I got people wanting to dump popcorn on my head. I'm trying to manage Olin Kreutz and James Big Cat Williams. I think I'm allowed to be a little bit skeptical in that driver's seat situation.
How do you manage Olin and Big Cat?
You don't. Yeah, I let them manage me.
I think they managed you. I was about to say, I listened to the entirety of the post-game show in real time, driving back from Normal, your neck of the woods.
You just got to let them run the
thing. And I think you did a nice job just kind of, you know, you do what y'all do. Right. I'm just here to kind of guide us through it.
Should be the point guard. Get him the ball. You know what I'm saying?
Get him the ball.
Olin, and what do you think?
He was throwing alley-oops, and it wasn't hard to do because they were playing the freaking Washington Generals after a win in Philadelphia.
I'm like Josh Giddey out here getting his 15th triple-double. You know what I'm saying? Like,
so you took an L.
Yeah, I'm losing, but I'm still getting triple doubles.
So you and I in this scenario, Marshall, are not hitting anything. We're shooting, and it's just air ball.
All I'm saying is, now that we've got this new video, it all feels very anticlimactic. We did have fun with it, but now the fun is over.
So now we don't have an answer? Like, nobody wants to...
No, there's an answer. It's Roma Dunze. He didn't break anything.
All right, so they're protecting.
All roads led to Rome.
They don't want Rome to get fined. They just don't want it, so they're protecting.
You're not going to get fined for punching the ceiling and nothing happened.
Yeah, that's the anticlimactic part of it. Yeah, was like, I thought if we were to ever find this alternate angle that we actually finally got, that it was going to be like pieces, like debris of the ceiling all over the place.
Nope.
It wasn't that, unfortunately. Well, fortunately for Rome's pocket, I guess.
What was crazy about it was just the actual still frame of how high up he got. People like Rome make that look easy.
He is
try
about
that
6'2".
Right now at your house and see how easy that is for
Layla,
you.
To be fair, I could have done that. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
The
ceiling's not that high. The whole thing is anticlimactic because, when you see the new angle of like how high he actually jumped, it's like, we could all have done that.
No, we could not have.
Okay, maybe
Marshall
not you.
Is how tall?
6'2"?
I'm only 6'2".
Only.
And I'm sometimes I'm 5'11", sometimes I'm 6 feet tall, depending on the nurse that I have at my physicals.
I don't know what goes on up there.
6'2".
I don't know.
But you know this.
You're just a baby. 6'2"
is short because how often have you seen me and you're like, you're taller than I thought because all your friends are tall. How many times have you told me that?
Only in two cities.
Well, there you go.
Only with your Chicago and your Philly friends.
Doug is 6'2". That's your next question. Yes, Doug is 6'2".
I didn't know how tall Doug was.
I know exactly what Grody's going to ask.
Everybody's taller than me, so that's the answer.
My Doug nonsense. Well, I guess I couldn't hang out with these guys.
Like, Philly Carl just gets left in this, and he's an Eagles fan.
Poor Carl.
Carl's only 6'.
You got to take better care of your friends, man.
The chat that I was having with both Carl and Dan, these two Philly guys, and how they understood exactly what was happening, and they understood why the Eagles lost, and they weren't even mad about it like you would think they would be mad about it.
I was texting my buddy Mike Pirasano, and I was like,
Mikey, yeah.
I was disappointed in the Eagles against the Cowboys. I don't even know what to say. Y'all just got handed it to by the Bears.
Who do the Eagles play this week? Because that's an interesting, like, rebound? The Eagles! Who are they playing this week? Because, boy, they got a whole panic. Chargers.
Ooh, spicy.
Mm.
Oh, and it's in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Luckily for them,
I say the Eagles win.
It's the Chargers, not the Rams.
I want the Eagles to win.
That's why.
Do you guys want? I want the Eagles to win because I don't want that game, that win, to be lessened by the Bears. Because if the Eagles implode, then it's like, ugh.
Well, here's the issue. You want the Eagles to lose because of
that's
playoff
true.
Seeding.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't look at it that way.
Also,
we have to think about that now.
Grody, it's not you don't want the Eagles. Wait, hold on. You want the Eagles to lose? Why?
Because it lessens the legitimacy of what the Bears did to them.
You want the Bears to just
lose.
Beat the Packers and nobody cares what happened against the Eagles.
That's a good point, too.
Nobody cares.
No,
people will care because we care about everything.
But this is not the fight for supremacy anymore. This is the fight for, the playoffs matter. So you need them to lose.
Okay.
The one seed.
You guys have talked me into it.
Look, I'm telling
you right
now.
You're right.
If the Bears win this weekend, I got them as the one seed.
Wow. So power rankings, where would they be in your power rankings if they win number one? And then, I can't believe it.
If the Bears won this weekend, I would say the Bears are the best team in the NFL.
If they
went to Green Bay and got a win in Green Bay. Now, it depends on what it looks like. But in all likelihood, I would say that is the team to beat.
Oh, my God. Did anybody else just get goosebumps? Oh my God.
But you understand why I'm saying that, right?
Yes, because I'm cold in here.
Is that what it is? It's cold in here and it smells like nail polish.
But you understand why I'm saying that.
I had to put on the extra coat. I'm sorry.
Shay, low key, Layla, I love that smell. Honestly.
So does Lawrence.
I love the smell of nail polish. It smells good. You don't like that?
I'm growing my nails out. I had to put another coat of this nail polish.
I just want to sniff it, you know?
That's why I'm scared. You are definitely a glue eater sniffer in elementary school.
I do like the smell of gasoline as well.
Oh, yeah? What about the 9-volt on the tongue? You ever do that?
No.
I do.
Do you guys want to live or
not? How do you
not
know about this?
You have a 9-volt tongue ring?
No.
What?
No, this is not 2003. No, so the 9-volt, you just put a 9-volt battery on your tongue to test it. You've never done that?
Oh!
That was like a big bit on Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I did that once in my life. I was probably in junior high, and it felt too weird. It does like a little
zzz. I'm also a person who will voluntarily take a hit of smelling salts.
Really?
Yep.
Did you eat glue as a child?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Who knows?
What kind of nail polish are you putting on? Are you
it's
putting
this
on
nail
nice...
grow stuff because my broke all my nails because whenever I go to the airport, they all die.
Oh.
They get broken.
Man.
It sucks.
That does suck. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Ray says we have to break. Yeah, nobody cares about this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.